Welcome to the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. My name is Lauren Wells, here with my co-host, Chris Seveny. We're committed to providing you with the knowledge required to build wealth through real estate investing. Tired of consuming content about real estate? Stuck in analysis paralysis? Ready to do your first deal? As a member of our community, you will learn how to go from consuming content to taking that first step into the world of real estate investing. Our show is not about getting rich quick, but about providing you with the knowledge you need to take action. Join us as we speak with experienced investors who share action tips on how to escape the corporate world, start a thriving side hustle in the world of real estate, and go beyond your W-2 or 401k.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. I am your co-host, Chris Seveny. Today, I have a special guest. I have Mark McDaniel. Mark is hosts the Good Endeavor Short-Term Rental Show, as well as the Short-Term Rentals with StaySimply.com. Mark, how are you doing today?
I'm great, man. Really appreciate you having me.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for coming on. How was your weekend, and are you all ready for upcoming Thanksgiving?
Yeah, weekend was great. Lots of kids' activities. Went to the Dallas Cowboys, Carolina Panthers game. Nice. That was a lot of fun. And then, you know, a lot of family coming in town. So yeah, we're prepped. We're ready.
Good. Let's dive into it. We'd like to just jump right in. Why don't you tell people what you've got going on today in your business and what are you working on?
I appreciate you asking. We do a lot of investing. A little background, we got into the short-term rental game through many other real estate endeavors, tried those, didn't love them as much, and got into the short-term rental game. We've even had our hand in car washes and stuff like that, but going great. Our primary business is in the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, which is the most visited national park in the country, and 75% of the United States can drive there in a day's time, with about 12 to 15 million people a year going through that area. We think it's a good long-term vacation rental investment spot. We've invested a lot ourselves, and we've also started to take on and have quite a few now vacation rental properties that other people own. So we're managing them for them.
You've got the investments. Now you're managing the short-term rentals. Oof, I know property management can be challenging, managing the short-term rentals. Is it all that's cut out to be, or is it ultra challenging? I'm just curious, you know, how is that side of the business?
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as you see the light at the end of the tunnels, I think a lot can be solved with processes. Good people and processes is everything. And so our whole goal, we like to say that we want to be a blessing to the guest and we want to be a blessing to the owner. These guests are saving up all year to go on this vacation. They want to walk in and they want the microwave working and they don't want there to be dirt in the creases of the house. We like to tell them that we want them to be a millionaire for the weekend. We want to treat them like that. And then the owner, they want a return on their investment. They want somebody who can empathize with them from where they're coming from. And we're investors. We get it that when you spend big bucks on a house like this, it's a lot to hand it to a stranger and ask them to manage it for you. Like that's a big leap of faith. We get it. We empathize with that. And we know they want a return and we know they want it better than they gave it to us. Not always successful. We try very hard at it. And it's a hard thing to do. A lot of people try to get in and then they immediately get back out of property management. But I think with the right people and processes, anything can be accomplished.
I want to rewind it a little bit. And you mentioned you've done other assets in real estate, but you got the short-term rentals now. When did you start buying your short-term rentals in the Smokies?
2016.
The reason I ask is one follow-up question I was going to ask as part of that is I hear people today who are buying or trying to buy today in the Smokies or bought a year ago, and they're struggling to make the numbers work. Now, I'm guessing you probably bought a property in 2016. It's probably doubled or tripled in price is probably what I'm guessing. But at today's value, it might not be the greatest short-term rental investment potentially. Is that true from what I'm hearing from other people that try and buy today in the Smokies for a short-term rental will be a lot more challenging to make the numbers work?
It's a little more nuanced. Generally, you could say yes, hopping on the caboose as it's going over the cliffs. I would say if you have a run-of-the-mill property, it's like anything. If you're one of 4,000, then it's going to be hard to make a living. If you're one of one or one of 10, it's a lot easier. If you have an older place and it was built 15 years ago, and it has very few amenities, then now that the pricing is super high, it's going to be really hard to make your investment back. If you have a top of the line property with tons of amenities, then you can still do pretty well, even though the prices are high. The best way for us is developing properties. The price of building materials have come down, especially lumber. Not all building materials, but a lot of building material prices have come down, and the prices remain high and the cap rates remain low. We can build and get instant equity. The downside is you got to wait 9 to 15 months. I would say for the most part, like the unicorn years are over.
What I used to term or coin the phrase of, you know, a lot of real estate investors were just shooting fish in a barrel because you could buy any asset and you're going to make money on it, essentially, you know, for a good period of time, which most people agree those times are over at this point in time. You've got the short-term rental business and stuff. Acquiring these assets, did you use your own funds? Did you raise money to acquire these assets? How'd that work?
Never really raised money. I've never done that. I've considered it. Never done that. I've had partners on some deals. Got a partner in our management company. It was all of our own money. If you go back to 2015, I was a partner in an IT company that we sold. Then I kind of got full-time into real estate after that.
What has been, when you got started buying that first rental, you probably look back and probably shake your head on some things that, you know, you've seen or did or so forth. Do you have any aha moments from some of those first assets that you may have had that just people listening, if they or have a short-term rental, things be careful for?
First of all, real estate in general, like if I go back to 2016, I wish I would have just held those properties. The old real estate saying is like the best time to buy real estate is 25 years ago. The second best time is right now. But I had, you know, I've bought and flipped some. And through that time, I've also used probably about 7 or 8 property management companies before we decided to build our own. There's a lot of things. There's a ton of things that I've learned over time. And a lot of it is the design of it. So many folks get into short-term rentals and they spend every last dollar just acquiring the product and not saving any money to make it look great and to spend money on good pictures and to spend money on great amenities. But it's the pictures and the quality of the furniture and the amenities that make these properties go. Even if you do have an older property, if you add paint and improve your amenities and put in like nice new furniture and maybe create a wall in every one of your bedrooms that's interesting, that's not just tongue and groove or not just drywall, it might have wallpaper on it or it might have paint on that particular wall or some design. The idea is create something that people don't experience at home. I tell everybody, when you think short-term rentals, think boutique hotel. Think like really cool looking boutique hotel. Is it something you would want to live in every day? Probably not. Is it something you want to visit and feels cool to be on a vacation in? Absolutely.
Never thought about that. That's actually pretty cool. The comment you made about the photos and the furniture and stuff like that, it blows my mind as somebody who, A, I don't own a short-term rental, but I do look to stay in them sometimes. And you'll go to the photos and, you know, they're basically snapped with like an iPhone 7 that has horrible picture quality, poor lighting, wasn't cleaned up. You always see the jokes on the internet where somebody left something on the counter or something, you know, whether it's drugs, paraphernalia, or something that probably shouldn't have been there. The photos to me is a no-brainer, but some of the things you mentioned that I thought was really intriguing is, you know, that whole boutique of, hey, look, you know, like I live in a traditional colonial style home, but I don't mind staying at something that's pretty cool, chic, and modern. And if you get to stay in a place like that, it's like I said, not a place I'd probably want to live, but a place to stay for a week or a long weekend. You know, it's a great idea.
It's so true. And to comment on the photos, everybody was rewarded in 2021 and 2022 just for owning a short-term rental. When you get into a market where you can pitch a tent out on whatever acreage you got and it rents just because you own it, that was the precedent set. And now people are, the old Buffett saying, when you go out to water and the tide goes in, you kind of know who's wearing their shorts and who's not. And that's what's going on now.
We hope you're enjoying this episode of Creating Wealth Simplified. We wanted to take a moment and tell you more about our passive income fund at 7E, which is open to both accredited and non-accredited investors. Our latest offering targets an 8% annual return distributed monthly with the ability to potentially achieve a greater return through our bonus share program. If you'd like more information, reach out to us at invest@70investments.com to learn more. Thank you.
I was at a conference about a month ago, and there was an investor there who had about 10 to 12 short-term rentals, and the majority of them they bought last year. And a lot of them were in Texas, Florida, and some in the Smokies. And when they bought them, they were providing some cash flow. But after vacancy rates have slowly gone back to what I'll term normal, then taxes and insurance, they're running a huge negative with their business right now in trying to understand, hey, what's the best exit? And somebody sitting next to them says, sell everything. If you can't make money on it to, based off of what you have today in taxes and insurance aren't going down anytime soon, and vacancies are going to, I'll say, normalize. It's not, you can't base it off of 2021 numbers when people had more flexibility with work or travel. You hope they go back up again and rents go back up again, but can't keep bleeding $5,000 to $10,000 a month and find it to be sustainable unless you got really deep pockets.
You're right. And if you've got in, there's this thing over the past few years called the short-term rental loophole. And it was a way to get bonus depreciation from a tax standpoint. So many people got into the business for tax reasons alone, and they don't know short-term rentals from SPIT. You can take one of those properties and you can make it great again. You can make a drab property into something really great and desirable to stay in. But if you don't know the business and you only got into it for tax reasons, and you were going to buy this property and just expect somebody else to take care of it for you and not consult with you or do anything like that, man, it's an active thing. Like, you have to be really active. It's not a passive investment at all.
For me personally, and I'm actually opposed to short-term rentals as a business for me. And the reason why is it's nothing wrong with the asset. It's I'm buying myself a job of... Yeah. Whether I have to manage it myself or put on Airbnb, VRBO, have a property manager, I still have to manage that person. At one point in time, I had a short-term rental about, I'm in the DC area, about 2 hours west of us in the Shenandoah Mountains. And we looked at having it be a short-term rental. And this was back in, we bought it, I think in 2014. And we just decided way too much work. And we even had somebody local who would take care of it. So we just went to a year rental on it because it's like, okay, I only have to deal with this person once every year, see whether they want to renew. We had upgraded the entire place, didn't have any issues with it, really anything on the inside or the property itself. But for me, you know, I think that's one thing people have to realize is with the short-term rentals, it's, I view it more as an operating company than just a owning single family rental where you're going to sign somebody up for a 12-month lease, even if you have a property manager. Or curious to your opinion, if you agree, disagree.
I mean, honestly, that's the way the IRS looks at it too. They look at it as an active business. It's not like a long-term rental where the IRS views that as a passive business. This is viewed as an active business. And that's kind of where this whole loophole thing came in. It's an active business with real estate on the side is how the IRS looks at it. And I do too. Like, if you're choosing to self-manage, you want to spend time with your family and friends is generally Friday night and Saturday night. And that's when 90% of the problems happen. That's when you get the calls or the text or the door doesn't lock open or what have you. And very few property management companies are good just to be able to trust them, or they will just like call you and say, hey, how do you want us to handle this? How do you want us to handle this? You don't want that. You don't want people doing that. We're trying to be the easy button. We're trying to be an on-ramp. We're trying to give great returns and consult. Like, if you bring us a drab property, we're probably not going to take it unless you're willing to invest more money in it, because everybody's going to be disappointed in that relationship.
Is that why you started the property management side or that component? Because you just got frustrated with everybody else you were working with and were like, I know I could, with 20% effort, do this 200% better?
That's exactly why we went through. It was either like, I walk into my property and it's filthy and the stove's not working. Like, I've entrusted you to manage this multi-million dollar property and it's not even working, or the revenue wasn't good, like something along the way. And maybe it says something more about my character, but we went through quite a few and we actually got to the 1 yard line of acquiring a property management company. And it was just going to be a Herculean effort in the culture change, just a culture change of, hey, We're going to move forward heavily on Facebook marketing, on Google AdWords. It's more than just put it on Airbnb and VRBO and let them allow that to come in. It's way more than that. We just decided to, on the backs of our own properties, start our own property management company. And then we're getting great numbers. Folks kind of word of mouth. It's been slowly growing since then.
That's great. It's always that anybody who runs a business understands that push-pull of what do you have in-house versus what do you outsource. And now us being in the mortgage note space, now there was a point in time where I got frustrated with a lot of servicing companies and had the brainchild idea to start a loan servicing company that, you know, ended up after 2 years. I just didn't have time to manage it anymore. So I ended up also had some conflicts of interest involved on it. Had got out of that and my interest back to my partner. But, you know, I joke with him every day. I don't miss it one bit. It's always that push-pull of what to do, what not to do. People, especially with property management, do you do it? Do you not do it? Also depends on where you're at in your life and how do you value your time. And, you know, like you mentioned, you've got multiple assets. When you have multiple assets, it's a little easier, you know, in the sense of you can spread work out more, or you'd be a little more efficient. It's the people who've got one or two assets that I find really questionable whether is it really worth all that time and effort sometimes.
That's a great point. Sometimes when you're talking with owners of these short-term rentals, you're like, is it the chicken or the egg? Do you wait till income comes in before you invest, or do you invest and then let income come in? And same way with the property management, we're actually in the process of developing a wedding venue. And we kind of see it a lot like it is. I mean, it's a short-term rental. It's a lot more touch, super high touch dealing with potential bridezillas. But to us, we love the hospitality business. And it doesn't take that much more to be that much better. 10% more effort can make 100% more difference. And we like that. We feel like we were born to serve, and this is kind of what we like doing. But with your business, man, that has a ton of appeal for investors. It has a whole lot of appeal because you take care of everything. And that's truly, that's, you've got a compelling case.
By the way, if you need a contact, I met a guy who he buys a lot of assets and turns them into wedding venues and stuff like that. I know somebody who's, that's their only business model. They've done it in Florida, Maryland. Happy to connect you with them after this. That. Just share ideas or anything along those lines. He's a very intense person like myself. Make sure to plan a good 30 plus minutes for that phone call. It won't be a 15 minute phone call.
Yeah, I would appreciate that.
One thing I want to kind of jump back to, because I think we glossed over it a little bit. You were not in real estate or anything. You're in IT, sold a company or part of company sale and so forth. Hopefully did pretty well with that. And then got into real estate. When was decision that you made of, okay, I'm going to sell my company, get into real estate? Or was it somebody was interested in your company, made an offer, and you're like, I got to figure out what I got to do for the rest of my life? How'd that play out?
My partners and I just decided to go the investment bank route and ask them to market it for us. And so we decided to sell it, going with the best offer. Just me personally, from a real estate standpoint, I live in an area, there happens to be tons of real estate investors. I just looked at the economics of it. It's just a great four-legged stool. Like, you get tax depreciation, you get appreciation over time, actual value, you get cash flow, and you get principal pay down. And it just made a lot of sense to me. And after managing like 50 employees, it was an employee-less business. It had a lot of appeal when we first started investing in real estate, because that was when I was using property managers. Obviously, now we're building back up with employees again, and it's super rewarding, but that time off was really nice.
I think every gray hair on my head is from managing people in large swaths of people. For people who are listening, property management is one of the hardest businesses to manage people in, because there is typically high turnover. And the people who do the work, you know, it's being the holder. If you're a football fan, you're the placeholder for the field goal kicker. You get zero credit when things go the way they should. But the moment something goes wrong, 60,000 people all point the finger at you that you screwed something up. Unfortunate about that property management business, but it's also a little bit the reality. As we start to wrap things up, Mark, just one of the questions I like to ask people. Been successful the last several years in your business. You continue to grow your business. Where do you want to take your business the next 2-3 years? Do you want to continue to grow it? Do you want to potentially sell this business to start something else? What are you thinking at this point in time?
I love that question. I love to start with the end in mind and back into it from a day-to-day routine. We want to continue to grow the business, except be very picky about how we grow this business. We don't want to just take any property or any owner for that matter. Like you said, managing gray hairs on your head, we kind of think of these owners as partners, and hopefully they think of us more than just a vendor. And we want to try to get to about 100 properties. We feel that's going to generate a great business. If somebody wants to buy us, I don't know. That's not the goal. The goal is to create a great culture and a great place for people to work and acquiring properties. We're always looking at other asset classes as well. We're in car washes. We're looking to be in wedding venues. I love what you're doing. Even looked at like franchise development rights, like owning a couple states, developing a franchise throughout a couple states. We've looked at a lot of different things, but we're really open-handed. What I love about any kind of business is the process. And I love to set goals, but I really love the process of getting there. And those are always the stories that you kind of look back on. And like, I heard a podcast the other day, like no matter which way you choose, whether you decide to be an employee or decide to be an entrepreneur or decide to be an investor, it's going to suck no matter which path you choose. You might as well choose like the highest risk reward, the best asymmetrical bet that you can do. And we spent a lot of time analyzing what the best asymmetrical bets we can do.
I always joke when people ask the question, like, what's the best way to increase your net worth or do this or that, you know, that and stuff. And I always jokingly reply, I'm like, be born into it. I'm
like, that's you true. Know, let somebody else do the work.
Let someone else, you know, that's when you don't start off with the headaches, you know, but like right. You said, you're an investor, you're active, you're an entrepreneur, you work a W-2. At the end of the day, you know, life's hard.
And it's gonna suck no matter what.
You're going to have bad days. And the bigger the goals you have, the harder it's going to be to get there. It's going to just be more challenging. Mark, yeah. If people want to reach out to you, what's the best way for somebody to reach out to you?
You can go to our property management website at staysimply.com. That's simply with an I. My Instagram handle is mmcdaniel629. So mmcdaniel629. But those are probably the best two ways to get in touch with me. I appreciate you asking.
Yeah, great. And of course, for everyone listening, we will have those in the show notes at the end with our blog post. Mark, thanks for coming on today. And thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Make sure to leave us your favorite rating and review on your favorite listening station. Thank you all. And thanks, Mark.
Yep. Thank you, man.
Thank you for joining Lauren and I on this episode of the Creating Wealth Simplified podcast. Each week, we bring you expert education, experience, and information in a digestible format to help you identify investment opportunities so you can build wealth through real estate and take action toward your financial goals. Enjoy the show, share with a friend, or subscribe to the show and leave us a review.